You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jets on this Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. As always, if you enjoy this show, subscribe. iTunes and Spotify are your two best bets. And if you really enjoy the show, leave it a positive review in iTunes. Again, we certainly appreciate those who have done so. On yesterday's show, we talked about some of the wild cards the Jets have heading into 2018. And these are players who we don't really know what they're going to produce. Maybe they'll be good. Maybe they won't be quite as valuable. It's really tough to say. Today, we're going to head in the opposite direction. We're going to talk about the guys who I think are kind of sure things on the Jets roster. And I'm not necessarily talking about guys who are superstars, but just guys who have a role and you know that they're going to do their job pretty well. And in the NFL, there's never a 100% guarantee with anybody. That's just not the way the league works. Some guy may have a down year. Somebody may go into decline. Somebody could get hurt. So it's there's never a 100% guarantee, but you know that the odds are very good that they're going to do their job and do it effectively for this team. And in many cases, these are just role players, but you need role players to win in this league. So I'll give you five guys who I think will fill their jobs quite well and guys who you don't really have a lot of doubt that they're going to do what they need to do. So we'll start on the defensive side of the ball. And first guy I'll give you is Jordan Jenkins, who, of course, is a guy who is a really solid, has turned into a really solid run defender for the Jets, I think. He's 2 years into the league. This will be year number three. He was drafted in the third round 2 years ago out of Georgia, the 2016 draft, which has been kind of spotty for the Jets, if we're going to be honest. It hasn't been, they haven't quite gotten the production I think they were hoping to get out of that class. Now, what is Jenkins again? Is Jenkins a superstar? No. Is he a star? No. But he's a guy who has a role on this team, and that role is, again, to help set the edge, help play the run. And do the Jets hope he develops into more of a pass rusher? Yeah, I think they do. Is it possible he could develop into more of a little bit more of a pass rusher? I mean, I don't think we're looking at a guy who's ever going to be like a 10-sack guy, but could he turn into something like maybe a 6-sack guy? Well, maybe, but even if he doesn't, I think he's the type of guy Jets are going to be fine with having out there. He's a guy who's a solid player. He brings skills to the table, and he doesn't, he's just not a guy who makes a lot of mistakes. So I think Jordan Jenkins is a very solid guy the Jets have. It's something I've talked about over the course of the off seasons. Yes, look, you need top-end talent to win. There's no question about it. But you also just need guys who are going to fill roles and do their job effectively. And, you know, Jordan Jenkins may never be a guy who's a Pro Bowler. He may never be a guy who's an all-pro type of player. But he's a guy who's an effective starter, a guy who fills a role, a guy who can help you stop the run, a guy who can set the edge and do that job. And he does it quite well. So Jordan Jenkins is a guy who I feel is kind of a sure thing. I think you know what you're getting with Jordan Jenkins, and it's going to be solid. Now, the next guy I'm going to talk about is a new addition to the Jets. It's Avery Williamson, the linebacker the Jets signed from the Tennessee Titans during the offseason. And again, a guy who I'm not sure we're necessarily talking about superstar-level player. There are going to be some questions about how he plays coverage. You know, he's been spotty, and in many instances, the Titans took him off the field. Well, that's okay for the role he's going into, though, because he's replacing DeMario Davis, and Davis, if you took a close look, the Jets kind of tried to shield Davis from the really tough coverage assignments. He was not a guy who ended up getting a lot of the most difficult backs and tight ends in the receiving game. Those tended to go to Darren Lee and to Jamal Adams. So that's what the Jets are trying to use those play. That's what the Jets use their first round picks to get the tough assignments. So what I think you'll see from Williamson is a guy who's going to be more of a downhill player, a guy who's going to play the run. And that's what you saw in Davis last year. And that's what you saw with David Harris for a number of years with the Jets. Again, that was a role David Harris had. If you look at David Harris's stats and coverage in recent years with the Jets, they don't look bad. And again, I don't think it's because David Harris was a great cover guy. I just think the Jets were able to effectively utilize him, prevent him from getting into a lot of mismatch situations. And I think that's what the Jets will do, again, with Williamson, who really has started to develop into one of the better run-stopping linebackers in the league. Now, is a run-stopping linebacker really a guy you build your defense around? You know, in a bygone era, in the past, maybe you would say yes. In today's day and age, probably not. But it's a guy you have to have guys who stop the run. Even if the pass is more important, even if it is a passing league, you do need guys who can effectively stop the run. And I think Williamson's the type of guy who can do that. And you look at the decision the Jets made in the offseason to let DeMario Davis go to New Orleans. And I'll be honest, I was surprised. I thought the Jets were going to sign. I thought the Jets would bring Davis back, and I thought they'd give him a deal that, I'll be honest with you, might make me a little uneasy because he was a guy who was coming off a career year. And again, a guy who didn't necessarily play the toughest matchups. And the Jets did not do that. In some ways, I wouldn't say I was pleasantly surprised, because he was a really good player last year. So I don't know you can necessarily be pleasantly surprised you lose a guy who had a year the way Davis did last year. But I kind of like the fact that the Jets did not chase Davis. They did not go all out to re-sign him. And by the way the Jets approached it, I feel like the Jets were kind of saying, we think Williamson is more likely to have the Davis season than to have another season like Davis had in 2017 than Davis is to replicate what he did last year. And, you know, there are probably good reasons for that. Davis is a guy who's a little bit older. Williamson's a younger guy. You know, you hope he's kind of ascending. He really started, it looked like he was starting to grow in 2017. So, you know, we'll see. His ceiling might be higher than what you've got right now, but I think you kind of know what his floor is. And his floor is pretty solid. I think you're pretty happy with what you have with the Jets, and you know, well, and I think that's why you made the list, because I think you know you're getting a solid run stopping linebacker, and that's what you're really looking for with this player. And I think it's a position you don't necessarily have to worry about all that much. Now I'm going to jump to the offense, and I'll give you a guy who, I'll be honest with you, this is a guy who earlier in his career I really sold him short. I didn't buy him a whole lot. I thought he was not a guy who was the type of player you build your offense around. I didn't think he was the type of guy. It's not just I didn't think you could build your offense around him. I thought he was the type of guy who was kind of a scrap heap level player, and he's gone out and really played well these last couple of years, really proven me wrong. And that is Bilal Powell, a guy who has really struggled to get chances with the Jets. And I think the Jets for many years had the same view I did, where they just did not seem very keen on giving him chances. And the thing is, every time he's gotten onto the field, he's produced for this team. And the Jets, it's funny because the Jets just year after year, they bring in somebody to try and reduce his carries, whether it was Chris Ivory, whether it's Chris Johnson, whether it's Matt Forte. And some of them did work. Look, Chris Ivory was an excellent signing. I think Chris Ivory ended up being a trade that was well worth it for the Jets. So nothing against that one. And then this year, Isaiah Crowell, which again, I think you're hoping is going to work out. So sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. It's not necessarily a knock on the Jets because some of the moves have worked out, but for whatever reason, the Jets, and this goes over multiple regimes, it's just, they've never really seemed to be that big on Powell, and they've brought him back a couple times, so it's not like they're that down on him. And they've given him kind of a role as a complimentary player. They've never really given him a chance to kind of carry the load. And again, I think you're seeing that. You'll see that again this year. The fact they bring in Crowell, I'm not sure you're going to see Powell really carry the load once again. All I can say, though, is that whatever situation you've put him in, whatever role you've put him in, he's gone out and produced. He's a solid guy who's pretty much solid in all aspects of his game. You know, good vision. He's shown some ability to create yardage on his own. Good solid receiver out of the backfield. Just a guy who does a little bit of everything, and a guy you're very happy to have. And you know, this team has not really had a whole lot of success stories in recent years in the draft. And what you have here is you have a homegrown player who's gone out, done a consistently solid job. And one of the ways I view players on your roster, especially as you're rebuilding, is you either have guys who are part of the problem or you have guys who are part of the solution. And if you look at what Powell has produced through the years for the Jets, I think it's pretty clear he's been part of the solution for this team. And you know, he's getting a little older, he's actually kind of old for a back, but at the same time, the way the Jets have handled him, the way the Jets have been hesitant to put him into more of a leading role, maybe works out to his benefit, because if you look at running backs through the years, age is not the only thing that matters. The workload you have, the odometer you have, also does come into play when we talk about how a back ages. And the fact that Powell has not had a whole lot of wear and tear on his body means that he'll probably age better. He'll probably be more productive deeper into his career than a lot of other backs would. So, again, I think that this is a guy you can count on to be solid. I think this is the type of player who's going to help this team. And I don't really have much doubt about that. As long as he stays healthy, I think Powell is going to be, again, I think the Jets are not going to put him into a leading role this year, but he's a guy you're pretty confident you know what you're getting, and it's going to be pretty good. Now we'll move back to the defensive side of the ball. We have two guys left, and not surprisingly, I'd say they're both defensive linemen. And the first guy I'll name is Steve McClendon, who's a guy I really like. And I say this many times to people I know, and I've probably said it on this podcast. You look at this Jets roster the last couple of years, and there really have not been many players who are that good, not many players who are that productive. So it kind of amazes me that you actually have a guy who you could argue is underrated, a guy who kind of flies under the radar. You're just searching. I mean, you're pretty much sending out a search party trying to find productive players. Now, hopefully things will be a little different this year, but you know, in recent years, you'd have a tough time finding many productive players if you had a search party going out. And yet, Steve McClendon, you just never hear a lot of buzz about him. And part of it's he does the dirty work. He plays nose tackle, which is not a position it's not a glamour position. It's not a position where you tend to make a lot of plays. You don't really stand out. The nose tackle who does his job effectively really sets other guys up. He's really putting other guys in a position to succeed. But I think McClendon does his job really solidly. He goes out there, he plays the early downs. He plays the run effectively. You don't really hear much about him, but he's just an all-around solid player. Now, you look a year ago when the Jets were kind of just tearing it down, and I wondered, there were many points where I wondered, are the Jets going to keep him around? It was a youth movement. They were kind of trying to just cut the roster down. They were trying to cut payroll, and maybe not cut payroll as much as they were trying to create cap space, get rid of the old players, give young guys some reps. And I wondered whether McClendon made sense for them. I wondered whether he'd be sticking around, and they kept him around. And I thought he had another solid year for the Jets. I think he did a good job. And I don't really have much doubt that he should be around this year. I think, again, he's just a guy you can trust. And those guys are valuable, and they're especially valuable on a team like the Jets where you're trying to build something for the future. So McClendon is the fourth player I'll name. And then that brings us to our final guy. And your final guy there should be no doubt about your final guy. It's the best player on the team. It is Leonard Williams, the defensive lineman the Jets drafted 3 years ago with the 6th overall pick. And you know something funny is Williams has not put up monster stats to this point. And as much as he's the best player on the team and as much as people appreciate him, I almost feel like Williams is a little underrated by a lot of people. And I said McClendon was underrated as well, and one thing I'll preface this with is it's really tough to say a guy definitively is totally underrated or totally overrated in this day and age because you can find people who have takes on everything. You can find people who pretty much – there's such a wide variety of opinions now with the internet that you can pretty much find a guy who overrates any player and a guy who underrates any player. I mean, you could find people out there who – say Williams isn't that great, and then you'll find people out there who say, well, Christian Hackenberg, people are selling him short. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But I actually think Williams is I really do think people don't appreciate how effective Williams is because, again, he hasn't put up he hasn't filled up the stat sheet a whole lot. He's not a guy who has put up a ton of sacks, and the contributions he makes in the run game sometimes get lost. All the blockers he draws just by his power, by his dominance, and as a pass rusher, not a lot of sacks, but a lot of quarterback hits. And I think in some ways he's probably been unlucky to not put up more sacks, because if you look statistically, there's evidence that suggests that hits eventually translate into sacks over the long run. So if you're getting a lot of hits and you're not getting a lot of sacks, odds are your sack totals are going to go up. And hits do impact. When you knock the quarterback down, that does impact the play. In many instances, you're impacting the trajectory of the throw. You're forcing the throw to be incomplete. And more than anything, you're making the quarterback uncomfortable. And you hit the quarterback enough times, he's going to start feeling pressure. Maybe he speeds up his delivery a little too much. You know, he starts hearing footsteps in the backfield. He starts dropping his eyes. There are lots of things that can go wrong for a quarterback who gets hit frequently. So Williams has been producing plenty of those. He's produced hits at a high rate. So he's a guy you know what you're getting. And it's good. It's Pro Bowl good. And I think Williams, I'm not sure we've seen his ceiling yet, because I think he can get better. I think he can start filling up the stat sheet. But at the very least, you know that you're getting an above-average defensive lineman. And that's something to be happy with. So those are the five guys I'll give you who are the sure things, I think. Never 100% sure thing in the NFL, but guys I feel confident in are going to give the Jets a pretty good season. That'll do it for our show today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Once again, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, two best options, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll be back on Wednesday to talk more Jets.